Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, we're just going to pray and jump right into this. Father, thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for this rain. We needed it, Lord. And Lord, as much as we need the physical rain, we need a manifestation of the rain of God in our life. Because sometimes we get into that dry season in our thoughts and our patterns and our habits. And Lord, we need that refreshing rain to come and just soak into the soil of our hearts and our minds this morning, God. So be with this word. And Lord, I pray that I am allowed to do justice to your word today, where it will be understood and received for the way it's written on your pages for your glory. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I will forewarn you up front that this series we've been in the last 2 weeks and finishing up today is called Heaven, Hell, and the Holy Ghost. First week we talked about heaven. Told you heaven is the presence of where God is at. Last week we talked about hell. Hell is the absence of God in your life and via all eternity. That's what makes it really hell. And today we're going to go to the scriptures and talk about the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because of all the things that happen in life and the world and that is one of the, in the church world, that's probably the most controversial part of the church world. And it shouldn't be. It was not designed to be controversial, but the only way it got controversial is man got involved with it. And begin to put our own twist and our own characteristics on things of God that God necessarily is not in all the time. Okay? So I want you to, now again, I know there's all different kinds of backgrounds and beliefs here this morning. Trust me, I know that. And I just want you to open your mind and your hearts to the scriptures. Okay? That's all I'm asking you to do. I love grandma and grandpa. Love them. Love auntie and uncle. Love mom and dad. But how many know when you stray off of this subject into personal issues and personal agendas and personal upbringings, you can skip something that's in the Word of God and keep a blessing from you and your family. And so today I want to pay close attention to the scriptures, okay? Go ahead and let's put the first note up. Number one, the devil does not want you saved, he does not want you sanctified, and he sure as heck don't want you filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, he don't want you saved. He cannot stop you from being saved. He can try to keep you out of heaven, but heaven is yours for the asking. Yeah. Yes. Amen? Amen? And once you get saved, he's lost that battle of eternity, but he's not going to stop fighting you to where you are effective in your salvation while you're on planet Earth. Yeah. It's like you may have gotten that over there taken care of, I know, but I'm going to still jack with you while you're down here. Yeah. And he's masterful at what he does. With lost and saved people. He's a deception. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. So he don't want you saved. And after you get saved, you spend a process of learning how now to be saved. Right. Learning how to be something you've never been before, a child of God. And there are some, I don't like to call them rules, but there's a benefit package that teaches you how to be something you've never been before. How to overcome your things that kept you from coming to Christ. How to overcome things that are not Christ-like now that you are like him. And sometimes it's a process, and our whole life is a process of becoming more like Christ. Amen? Amen. And he hates that process. So if he loses the battle of your salvation and you're saved in here today, that's wonderful. But saved is for over there and while we're here. So if we're going to be saved here, we should look saved, act saved, talk saved, and live saved with everything Jesus died for you and I to have. Amen? So he doesn't want that, and that's what we call the sanctification process. In other words, becoming more like Christ. You will never become more like Christ in your own religion. Religion will not make you like Christ. Come on now. Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit make you like Christ. God is in heaven, seated at the throne. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, ascended to his Father, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. But he says, I will not leave you without comfort. I will send you the Spirit of God. So the active ingredient in the earthly realm that you and I have to call on our God is the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we say things like this. There's three parts to God, correct? He's a triune God. Say this with me. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We see the first two is God. The third part of God, the Holy Spirit, we want a little bit different version. We want our version of that. Come on, we want our version of what we feel like and nothing else. But you can't come to God any way you want to. You can't get to God through anything else you want to other than Jesus. And my friend, the Holy Spirit does not compromise himself to your beliefs. And he is a person of God. He's tangible, he's real, he is a person. He is the Holy Spirit of God. And why would we be scared of him? Amen? I want to go over some of the misconceptions before I get to scriptures today. And this is not all of them, trust me, but these are some of the major ones I get from people. Misconceptions about the Holy Ghost. Number one, the Holy Ghost is weird. That's like you calling God and Jesus weird. See, again, somehow we've tried to separate the Holy Ghost from God and Son. He's the perfect reflection of everything God is. He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit loves you beyond you loving yourself. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is not weird. Now, people have made the Holy Spirit weird in their life. Okay? Some people's done we've put a hit job on the Holy Spirit's image in some people's eyes. It can't recover. And when you say Holy Ghost, people always go to the crazy people. Okay? Be careful what you call crazy. So he's not weird, he's holy. And I may need to remind some people, he's not just called Spirit or Ghost, he has a first title, Holy. If your Holy Ghost, all he does is speak in tongues and run around, and your Holy Ghost cusses people out, that ain't the Holy Ghost. Bitter and sweet water can't come out of the same mouth. Your Holy Spirit don't shack up, rack up, pack up with anything. And it be God. So he's holy first and foremost, just like God is and just like Jesus is. The second thing I get most asked is, a misconception is, I mean, it's in the Bible. Yes, we can't deny that. We wish we could. We really wish those scriptures wasn't in the Bible, but we see them. So we have to justify us not understanding and having it and flowing with it. In the real, it's because we don't understand it. So we've got to label it somehow. That was just for those in the upper room only. That's one of the big teachings, that was just for that time, those group of people in the upper room, and when the last apostle died, that is no longer available. And you find many teachings like that, and you can believe and teach that if you want to. The problem with that is that's not in the Bible. So why are you teaching and preaching something that the Bible does not defend? I will show proof of that to you today, very, very easy in scriptures. Okay? The Bible just simply does not say that. And then the other side, now the first two are people who don't understand it. They think it's weird, it's spooky, they don't want nothing to do with it, so you got to justify yourself out of it by making fun of it or not, you know, that's just for them, that's them crazy people. Well, the other side of that is those who've got it and you've made it more about who you are versus who the real Holy Spirit is, is you have a mentality, a myth about this right here. This is prevalent in a lot of Pentecostal churches. You're not saved if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, Shanda Bahanda Bahoda. If you don't do that, you're going to hell. Well, again, the problem with that, that's not in the Bible. That's man stuff. You are not a second-class citizen. If you've got Jesus, you're on your way to heaven. Hallelujah. But I want everything God died for me to have. Can I have a better amen there? Is there anybody ever say, Jesus saves? Now, let me tell you this. You cannot be saved without the drawing of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that brings conviction upon your heart and your mind, your soul, and your spirit realm. Okay? And you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, He's always going to take you to Jesus, and Jesus is always going to take you to the Father. They're not going to work against each other. They're in tandem. They're in unity, perfect unity. Now, this next one is really more of a question I get, not an accusation and misconception about it, is, well, I mean, if the Holy, I can't get saved without the Holy Spirit, but then you're telling me I get saved and I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Why can't it all just happen at one time? Come on, everybody. I mean, why couldn't it just been a kabam and that's it? And I'll just be honest with you. The main reason I believe that, that most of the time it's a two-event deal is, number one, that's the way it was in the Bible. That can come simultaneously right after salvation. I've prayed for one person in my life that got saved and baptized with the Holy Spirit all in one session of prayer. One person. Everybody else has been salvation. Most of the time they get baptized in water. I've had people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit while they got baptized in water before. Okay? Are y'all okay? Some of y'all was looking like, y'all didn't know this was this kind of church? You paid for your whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge of it by the end of this message. Why is it not a one and done? And I really believe that it's simply because God didn't want the simplicity of being saved wrapped up in anything else but the blood of Jesus. Okay? Because there is so much controversy in man's realm about the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm not even saved. Well, yes, you are saved. No, you're not at all this. So here, salvation is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. The Holy Spirit did not come and die for you. The Holy Spirit comes so you don't have to die. Okay? Your salvation through Jesus Christ is for all eternity in heaven. Amen? Everybody understand that? Now watch this. The baptism and empowering of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life is for while you're here on earth. You're not going to need it over there. Because salvation has already taken you there, but you need something while you're here. As a Christian, you still need more than just salvation and eternity in heaven granted to you. You need power to live as a, you need power to go to Walmart. Amen. Can I have a better? Amen. Amen. You need power to live in this life if you want to be a successful Christian that is beyond your natural ability. Because we live in a fallen world. Things are awaiting you to happen to your life to take you out of the joy of the Lord, to take you out of your spirit-filled dimension and put you back in a normal body struggling in this earth. People say, well, thanks for being so positive. I am positive you're going to face trials and tribulations. Why? Because the Bible says so. In this life you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome them. Hallelujah. We know this. And if he overcame it, how? He came and overcame it by the power of the Holy Spirit in his life at his baptism. The dove landed and remained on him. Amen? So if he overcame the world, he doesn't want to leave you in a world that you can't overcome while you're down here. And he knows in your own strength, even after you're saved as a Christian, in your own strength, you're still not strong enough. That's why he said, go tarry in Jerusalem till I endue you with power. Yeah. Dynamite, dunamis, power of God. to live while you're here. And then when you live this triumphant life in this fleshly realm, then your salvation for eternity comes when you die. So why would Christians want to live with less than what God gave them? And it's because of religion. It's because of misconceived ideas and deception. Amen? Hallelujah. So let me put that note up. I'm getting happy up here. Being saved does not equal being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let me make sure you understand that. That's another misconception. Well, if I got saved, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. No. And I ask people all the time, a lot of times I have forms filled out for counseling and premarital things. When were you saved? And they'll give the date. When were you baptized? They'll give the date or the year. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes or no? And you'll be amazed. Nearly everybody clicks yes. And then I ask them, what is being baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, it's when I got saved. No. It's a separate event. It's another baptism. One gets you to eternity. The other one gets eternity to you while you're here to help you live in this earth. Okay? Everybody say, we're going to show you the scriptures in a minute. Okay? It's okay. Touch your neighbor, say, you're going to be okay. Now, go ahead and put up the next note. You need a power that is beyond your own natural ability to deal with the things we're going to face in this life. Absolutely. Amen. If you want, listen to me now. If you want to do it in your own strength, have at it and good luck and let me know how that works out for you. Because it ain't going to work out as great as you think it is with just your ability. Now, you may have some ability. You can be slick talker, know how to deal, wheel and deal in the natural realm, and it'll take you to a certain amount of fun and success. But as far as inner peace, joy, and life in the Spirit of God, there's only one source that can come through, and it's through the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen? And don't get caught up if I say ghost or spirit. They're the same thing. If you say spirit, you're in the right kind of politically correct church. If you say ghost, you're in the Pentecostal weirdness. He's a Holy Ghost. He's a Holy Spirit. Same thing, okay? So why don't we, real quickly, and I'm going to try to go as fast as I can today, but I don't want to go too fast where I lose you, okay? But why don't we just let the Bible say so? I mean, again, we honor mom and dad. We honor meemaw, peepaw, papa, nana, whatever you call them. We honor auntie and uncle. We honor nephew and uncle, all this stuff. Honor them, yes, but let's see what the main one has to say about it today. Okay? So because here's the thing about it. You'll have one of two things to do after you hear this message today. You will have no other choice but say, yeah, there it is in the Word. I believe in it, but I'm not going to budge. I'm going to deny that Word in my access to my life. Or you're going to have to sit here and deal with some old religiosity in yourself and say, can I crucify that and be biblical? Aren't you glad you come today? Lock the doors. Again, just everybody say, just the Bible. Just the Bible. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. The former count I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus, who? Jesus began to both do and teach. He didn't teach something he didn't do. Amen. Verse 2, until the day in which he, Jesus, was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, through what?
Holy Spirit.
Jesus, this is talking about this. Now, this is after his crucifixion and his resurrection, after he, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he chose. He gave the commandments not of what he wanted done, but what of the Holy Spirit told him. He spoke them the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right? And again, these are the ones he chose. He's chosen you, by the way. Verse 3. To whom he, Jesus, also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during how many?
40.
How many?
40.
Everybody look, say it together. 40 days. which means after he got out of hell, he went to hell for 3 days, defeated death, hell, and the grave, took the keys and got them back, come back to the earth, spent 40 days on the earth before he ascended into heaven, teaching and releasing the true meaning of why he was here. Okay? And then he was resurrected up after 40 days. There it is in your Bible. During 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the religion of man. Better pay attention today. Jesus is getting ready to leave, so he's going to talk to you about forming different denominations. No. His whole message and his whole life and his whole thing come to the end there where he says, 40 days I spent pertaining to what? The kingdom of God, his Father. Everybody say the kingdom. I always tell you this, Jesus did not come to establish a religion. He came to establish a kingdom. But we have such a religious mindset here in the American church that we don't understand kingdom. And I'm going to go back and do another series on that soonly, so just hang on for that. Now watch this, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he suggested to them, you're going to have to pay attention today, church. He didn't suggest. He didn't say this might be good for you. I wish you would consider this. The Bible says he what? He what? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the what? Promise of the Father, which he says, Jesus said, and you've already heard me talking about this. Everybody say the promise. Now what if tonight in your dreams God says, I promise you, tomorrow morning when you wake up and go to your bank account, I'm going to put $1 million in there. Yes, shout, brother. And you will tithe on it. Okay, just checking. How many of you would get up in the morning and you would be on your computer or at the teller before it opened? Why? Because if you knew for sure it was promised of God, that God don't break his promise, and you would have $1 million there, and you would be expecting it, and you'd be anticipating, and you would be making plans for it. Here's something better than $1 million. Anything God promises you can have is good. And he should have the same excitement and desire and enthusiasm and making plan for it. And just, I'm ready to receive this. I've never had $1 million. I don't know what to do. I think I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to do this. Lord, give me wisdom. Because I want to represent. I want to... Far greater than anything a money can ever buy. Far more valuable. Wait. I'm going to tell you about the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with him, he commanded him not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. Next verse. For John truly baptized with water. That's one. Everybody say, that's one. But you shall be baptized with what? The Holy Spirit, not many days from now. So how many baptisms are right there? Two separate events. Well, I don't like that. I have never been taught that. I don't care. It's Bible. And now you've been taught that. What do you want to believe? Hearsay? Or do you want to believe scriptures? Well, I like the Baptist doctrine. Or I'm a Methodist doctrine. It says this about it. It doesn't matter about man's doctrine. What matters is what thus saith the Word of God. This is perfect theology. Perfect theology. Okay? You've been baptized with water from John. Yes, that's one. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in just a little bit. Now, I could just stop right there, and that ought to be enough for everybody to say, I want it. I've gotten saved. Maybe you've been water baptism. If you hadn't, let us know. We'll dunk you under there. But you ought to be saying, you know what? I want this other one, too. If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. Well, what about if it was just for them? I mean, there's some validity to that. I mean, it really did happen to them. But what if it's not just for them? What if it was just for them and not me? It's not me. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 19. This is completely after the day of Pentecost. I'm really not even going to go to Acts chapter 2 today for the sake of time. So here we have the day of Pentecost happening. All them, everybody say them. There's 120 got filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with tongues. Amen. Right. We know that's in the Bible. Right. So it was just those four and no more. Amen. According to some people. The problem is those people don't read Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, everybody say Paul. Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some what? What does the Word of God say that last word is? Can you be a disciple without being saved? No, you're not a disciple of Christ if you're not saved. Amen. So Paul ran up on some saved people who were the disciples of God, of Jesus Christ. And he said to them, now what's the first thing Paul said? He didn't say what church you go to. He didn't say what belief system they used or what religion they were. He says, look at that. Paul said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they had the same reaction most people do today. And they said to him, we haven't even heard so much as whether there was a Holy Spirit. Okay? So we're right there with them, some of us. And he said to them, well, let me ask you something. What were you baptized into? And they said, we were baptized into John's baptism. There's a baptism. They're baptized in water, going to heaven. Verse 4. Then Paul said to them, John indeed baptized with water of repentance, saying to people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Yeah, that was good. You got that. That's what John did. Good. Now verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So now they're getting baptized into Jesus. Look at the next verse, verse 6. And when, now there's a baptism happening here. And then Paul's getting them out of the water, and now he's laying hands on them. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the what? Not God the Father, not Jesus the Son. All that's been taken care of already. Now the Holy Spirit come upon them, and look at the results. There's benefits. Come on, there's a benefit package to it. When Paul laid his hands on them after they were baptized, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, oh, by the way, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. It's not just about the tongues, y'all. It's also about prophecy now. I just want to go to heaven. That's all I want. I just want to go to heaven. And if you got Jesus, you going. But why do you want to go through hell to get to heaven while you're here? Why do you want to put up with some of the things you're going to have a power to speak over and have authority over, and you're not taking that authority? Amen. Why do you want to live a powerless Christian life? Wow. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Look at your neighbor and say, that's in the Bible. Doesn't matter what auntie and uncle, mommy and poppy said or whoever said, that's in the Bible. Amen? Can't deny that. Now let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Now, you remember where the woman with the well was at Samaria? And they were considered dogs to the Hebrews. I mean, dogs had higher standing than Samaritans did. But God is no respecter of people. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. He says, whosoever comes in the name of Jesus will be saved. Amen? So they get word that these less than dog people are getting the word of God, and they're getting saved in Samaria. So using wisdom, they sent two of the heavyweights down there to check out what's going on. Because these people under the dogs are even getting the word of God and getting saved down there. Okay, so they sent down Peter and John to them. Verse 15, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. They've already got the Word of God. They've received the Word of God. Now they're praying that they get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Know your Bible, it'll bless you. Watch this now. Verse 16, for as yet he. Now, this is one of the reasons I really like the New King James Version. Other translations do this too. It always capitalizes any deity of God. For as yet, capital H-E, had fallen upon none of them. He, the Holy Spirit. Again, it's a person, not a thing. He, the third part of God, had fallen on none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the only thing they had received is their salvation. And now, this is Peter and them. Upon the rock, he's going to build a church. They're saying, we're going to pray for you to get the Holy Spirit now, baptized in your life. Verse 17, now here we go again. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit after their baptism. After they had the Word, they got saved, they got baptized. Now they're receiving what we call the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which Jesus said, it's my promise to you. Amen. It's my promise to you. Now, we're going to go back to the story of the 40 days. I told you to say 40 days for a purpose a while ago. John's account of 40 days. Everybody say John's account of 40 days. Because what we get is, again, one of the biggest arguments was, or questions is, well, I mean, that was just for them. And they got it at Pentecost when they got saved. You know, they were all in the upper room. Y'all know that story? They were all in the upper room, and suddenly a sound came from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it set on each one of them, and there appeared upon them cloven tongues as a fire, and they all got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in tongues. And everybody thinks, now not everybody, but a lot of people, well, that's where they got saved and they got sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, all in one deal right there. And then they went out, and when that was over, it's just done for everybody. Well, we've already proved to you, Ephesus proved that wrong. That's way after that happened. The disciples, he ran into them and prayed with them and baptized them and laid hands on them and they spoke in tongues. They wasn't in the upper room. So let's deal with that. Did they get saved in the upper room and get baptized in the Holy Ghost? No, they did not. The only thing that took place in that upper room was equipping them to do what they needed to do in the earth. They were already saved. Was that in the Bible? It's in John's account of the 40 day of ministry after his resurrection, 40 days of his ministry before he left. He made sure the disciples were saved before he left. John chapter 20, in your Bible, 19 and 22, through verse 19 through 22. Again, during the 40 days, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, after resurrection here, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. You've heard me say this before. The reason he had to do that, you would freak out too if a guy come walking through the walls and said, here I am. You would need a little peace be unto you spoke to you too, okay? And when Jesus showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad and saw the Lord. So Jesus said again to them, peace be to you. He had to calm them down twice. Now watch what else he says here. As the Father has sent me, Jesus, I'm fixing to go away. I'm fixing to ascend here in a few days. I'm also going to send you. Amen. But I can't send you if you're not even saved. How can I send unsaved people out to save people? But I'm going to send you. And verse 22, no denying this. And when he, Jesus, had said this, he, Jesus, breathed on them. And they and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Don't get excited. What spirit is this? This is the salvation of the Holy Spirit's work. Leading them to their salvation. Okay? Then if you go back to the account we read a while ago, he tells them, now what I want you to do is go wait for the promise of the Father to the saved people. The promise is to anyone who is saved, you will be endued with power to be my witnesses. Okay. Y'all all right? Now, most Christians, even though you may not understand or fully get into all that, the Holy Ghost stuff, every Christian, when they get born again, wants power to live that authentic life. Anybody in here not want power to live? Raise your hand if you say, I don't need no power to live. How many in here would say, I also, as a child of God, really would like to have at my disposals when I need them, and not just for my life, but other. I want to see some of the signs, wonders, and miracles the Bible talks about. Raise your hand if you that. See, we desire that. We want to see that flow. You know, we're good with everything about God, the Father, Son, and even the Holy Spirit until it comes to them tongues. I mean, really, most of us are. We're okay. Bring on the power. Yeah, we want power. Signs? Yes. Give me signs, wonders, miracles. Okay, I want you to speak in new tongues. Whoa. That's just weird. We got to get the weird out. Because if it's in the Bible, it's for us. You're not going to be weird. You're going to be powerful. And it's not for your glory. It's not for showmanship. It is to effect the kingdom of heaven on earth to you and through you. Now, tongues. Whew. So now I want to take you to a place that, I'll be honest with you, I've never heard too many people go to when they preach about the Holy Spirit in tongues. I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to spend the last few minutes here today going through verses 1 through 14. Now, you got to understand something. To the church of Corinth, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to Corinth. Paul declared himself. And you can look this up. I don't have the exact scripture for you, but it's in the New Testament. Look it up. Paul declared about himself, he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. Paul was a saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, just dynamite man. And he says, I speak in tongues more than anybody I know. It's in the Bible. Look it up. So here's the one who spoke in tongues more than any person at the time. Paul, chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 1, Paul's letter to the church. And so it was with me, Paul, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to use Paul's name here because I just think it gives it that meaning. When I, Paul, came to you, I, the apostle Paul, did not come with elegance of human or wisdom as I, Paul, proclaimed. Now, throughout this scripture, you're going to see words that talk about him speaking, proclaiming, declaring, preaching. It all means he's got a voice to give. Okay? So let me read it again. When I, Paul, came to you, I, Paul, did not come with elegance or human wisdom, as I, Paul, proclaimed my voice. I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. Verse 2. For I, Paul, reserved to know nothing while I, Paul, was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It would really be good if we just get back to that. Amen. Just know Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. Get you to heaven. Amen? 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 Are y'all okay? All right. Next verse, verse 3. I, Paul, came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Now watch verse 4. Paul says, Paul's message and my, Paul's preaching, again, here we go, another verbal thing, preaching, were not with wise and persuasive words. In other words are coming out of my mouth, not with man's wisdom, not persuasive, not anything but Jesus. But I spoke to you, Paul, with a demonstration of not God's power, not Jesus' power, but of the Spirit's power. Amen? So I'm not coming to you in my own thoughts, my own wisdom, my own words. I'm coming at you with Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. With the Spirit of power. Verse 5. Why? Why do we do this in the Spirit? So that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Everything I do is to get you right there. I don't want you resting on man's wisdom. I don't want you resting in CNN or Fox News. I don't want you resting on false prophets and prophecy. I want you to put your faith in God's power and word. For yourself, know it, live it, eat it, breathe it. Nothing can take you off of it then. That's why I can preach on the Holy Ghost and know that it's in the Bible. And know that it's for today. Amen. So your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Now six. He says we. Talking about him and the other apostles. We, the apostles and the preachers of the gospel, however, speak. Everybody say speak. There's another term, speak. We speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Everybody say the mature. Now, what is maturity? He goes on and says this. We speak a message among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers. Everybody say rulers. Or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Leave that up there for a moment. It's very important you pay attention to these scriptures. Don't focus on me. Look at these scriptures. We speak a message of wisdom. There are men all over the world today preaching a message of wisdom. And it's going right out the building. Why? Because there is no maturity in the house of God no more. We want messages that tickle our ears and tell us our sins are okay. And that we're still going to heaven with our sins without Jesus covering them. You're not going to get that here. Because that's not a mature word. That's not even a word of God. That's a word of Satan. We, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not in the wisdom of this age or the rulers of the age who are coming to nothing. Now, the rulers of the there is two-dimensional. It is governmental rulers, and it is religious rulers. You do know the government would have never crucified Jesus had the religious not have put him up there. So religious people will reject messages like this that don't like it. Government will definitely reject this message because they want you to put your faith, your hope in them. Do you remember the word I released here years ago? God showed me years ago there's coming a time when we would probably see in our lifetime people will bow down and look to God or government for their supply and their needs, and you will worship either God or government. And man, I hope that don't come true, but it's looking that way. You better know which side you own. Amen? Now watch this. Verse 7. Now we, the apostles, the pastors, the preachers, the evangelists, apostles, the fivefold, we declare again, voice. We declare, we speak, we proclaim, we preach. We preach God's wisdom. Now watch this. Everybody say a mystery. What's a mystery? A mystery is something you don't know or you're not sure about. It's got you pondering and wondering because you don't have a definitive answer. And the Bible says that the fivefold and the ministers of the apostles are preaching wisdom, but it's a mystery. How can we preach wisdom, but it be a mystery? Now watch this. I'm glad you're paying attention today. A mystery that has been hidden by God on purpose, that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory. For whose glory? It does not say he's got this mystery hidden for us for his glory, but it's for our glory. Let me finish that verse out. He had this done before time ever began. Leave that up there. There's hidden wisdom that's a mystery to people, even in the church today. And it's been hidden, and that God has it destined for our glory. Am I saying for my glory? For your glory. Why is it not about the glory of God? The glory of God, He is the hidden mystery. Yes. It's Him. Yes. And now the mystery is going to be revealed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it will not be hidden from anyone who receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you get that, it's for your glory. He wants you to have everything. Why? Because it's for your glory, and your glory reflects and manifests His glory. You understand that? The Bible says, predestined for our glory. It's God's desire for you to have His glory, again, where it can reflect back to Him and His glory in us. Now, here's the thing about the word glory. Everybody say glory. In the ancient Hebrew, the word is kabod. It's the word for glory. And the word kabod literally means the full weight of God Himself. He didn't want you to have a measure of Him. He didn't want you to have a Sunday morning slice. He didn't want you to have a little bit of Saturday night. He wants you to have a 24-hour a day, 7 day a week, 365 days of every year filled of His glory inside of you for your glory. Wow. Who in their right mind doesn't want that? I mean, full weight of who God is. The full weight of God the Father. The full weight of Jesus Christ the Son. And the full weight of the Holy Ghost of God living and breathing inside of you. It's a powerfully wonderful thing Jesus died to hand you. Amen? Amen. Jesus spoke of the things to come in the kingdom of God. The full weight of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost means you have you begin to get a full revelation of the kingdom of God and not religion. The easiest people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost are the people who understand kingdom. Because when you're stuck in religion, it's a barrier between the Holy Ghost, because religion wants to rule where the Holy Ghost is meant to reign. And you'll allow religion to keep you away from something God died for you to have. But when you listen, when you're going to get the full weight of the kingdom of God, the full weight of the King of Kings. And let me tell you something. When you come into a kingdom, you get the kingdom language. You understand what I'm saying? If you were born in England, you would not be speaking like you speak right now. You would be under that kingdom's language. Amen? Real countries who have borders and stuff. You can't have a country without borders. Heaven's even got a gate. Heaven's got borders. You're not getting in. You're not getting in with what you have. You're not getting in with what you want. You're going to get in the way Jesus says get in. You can come up there and beg and plead all you want, but you're not coming through those gates until you hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Any other way, you ain't going in. There's borders and there's languages. And if you go to another country and you say, "I want to be a citizen of this country," you're going to be required to go long enough where you understand and you learn the language of that country. But until then, you will not get a citizenship unless you come to here. You will not have the rights of the kingdom. You will not be allowed into the kingdom without learning the king's language. So why do we want to go into heaven, the kingdom of heaven on earth, and not have His language? Are y'all okay? Verse 8. None of the what? Religious is twofold. What's the religious rulers? Well, I done said one of them. They're what? Governmental and religious. None of the government people or the religious people of this age understood it. Somebody say, imagine that. They're not going to understand it. Religious and governmental and lost people are not going to understand this message. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. They won't. For if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. If they would have known, they would have never crucified him. But they didn't know because they didn't want to know. Because their power came from themselves. Verse 9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, you can see a lot of things, you can hear a lot of things, you can think a lot of things, but you will never equate them to the fullness of God without his Spirit. Never. You will have a preconceived idea about this. You will have a religious idea about this. You'll have this much understanding that this far, and you'll be struggling the rest of your life with, well, why this, and how come this, and how come that? And even when you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, those thoughts will still be there, but you'll have a peace that passes understanding.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You'll have a power to call on the name of Jesus to defeat things.
Amen.
No human mind can conceive the things of the Spirit of God. Amen? Now, it's prepared for those who love him. Now, I'm going to go ahead and step out here and say those who love him won't all love him. That's the kind of love we're talking about. We're not talking about a love that goes, you know, three quarters of the way and leaves a quarter off. You can't spell God, G-O, without the D. There's three parts to his title, God, G-O-D. Who you saved by? I worship Go. Well, most of us don't even worship Go because we don't go do nothing. Dear God. All we do is come set our rump on a stump. I worship G. You into that New Age Scientology stuff or something? Oh, no, you know the big guy. You talking about God? Well, not all of him, just part of him that I like. Wow. Good preaching, amen. Thank you. Y'all okay?
Yes.
Scooting up on your seat a little bit now, ain't you? Now watch this. To God has prepared for those that love him. Verse 10. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. That's why the church is a mile wide and about an inch deep. I love setting out all the extra chairs this morning. But I don't want to be a church this wide and only this deep. And that's why we're in a season where this word has to come forth. There's a heaven, there's a hell, and there's a Holy Ghost. And if you want to go to heaven and have heaven here on earth and not go to hell, you better experience the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in your life. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, where do we get to? What verse are we in? Verse 10. The deep things of God. I'm going to go on because I got to get to this part. I could stay and pack that down for a while, but that's okay. Verse 11. For who knows the person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. In other words, you can relate to what you know. And if you don't know the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit after salvation, you can only relate to things from a saved person's view. Which is not, it's good. Again, you're no second-rate citizen by no means. You're going to heaven. But wouldn't you want to get more heaven in you while you're on earth? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want a language to speak the King's language? I mean, I can't speak any other language, but I am bilingual. I can speak the heavenly language. I know a little bit of Spanish, but not much. Chimichanga. Bean burrito, nachos and cheese. Hallelujah. That's the limit of my Spanish right there. And I know where to get it. It's the Mexican phone company, Taco Bell. I love y'all. I love y'all's sick sense of humor. Okay. Verse 12. Now watch this. What we, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, the saved of God, the sanctified, the filled with the Holy Ghost people. What we have received is not the spirit of the world. Whew. but the Spirit who is from God. And there's a reason. Why? Comma. So that we may understand what God has freely given us. So that we get an understanding that cannot come from our human wisdom. It can not come from human reasoning or education or PhDs or doctrines. It can't come from any of that. None of that is bad. But that without the Spirit of the Holy Ghost in your life will profit you nothing. Because you can't receive it all. The Bible declares you cannot receive it, so don't think you can. Do you think you're better than the Word of God? Well, if He says you can't receive it without the Spirit, who do you think you are to try to do it without it? You're welcome. What we have received is not the Spirit of the world, but it is the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Now look at verse 13. This is what we... not in words taught to us in human wisdom. So in other words, I'm not going to use a language that comes from my human wisdom. Oh, so you better tie this in because it's right there. We are not going to use words and language and wisdom that we've attained on our own. Watch this. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by what? Uh-oh. Now, God understands English, but the Holy Ghost doesn't speak English. He probably can. But he has a dialect of a kingdom language. He speaks the kingdom language because he's of and from and is the kingdom. If you get this, it's fixing to wreck your world as you know it. Not taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Now watch this. And what this does, explaining spiritual realities, explaining spiritual realities. Now watch this. Everybody look up here at the screen, the Word of God. You see the Word of God on the screen? This is yes. Let's read it together. Start here with the words on the third line. Words taught by the Spirit explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Another word for words there is language. And remember who wrote this? Paul, the one who spoke in tongues more than anybody else. And this is why he spoke in tongues more than anybody else. This is why he wrote most of the New Testament we have today. It didn't come from a man that wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. It could only come from a man filled with the Holy Ghost. You're proud he got it. You're proud they had it. But you don't want it. You don't have to have it. But it'll bless you if you do. Amen. And you know what else it'll do? It won't just bless you. It'll bless people around you. It'll bless the kingdom of God. It'll bless the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah. That's who it'll bless. It'll be for your glory, but it's to return and reflect back to Him. Yeah. Spirit-taught words. So where are we at with all this stuff today? And listen to me, I've just scratched the surface. Just scratched the surface. But here's where it really, the rubber meets the road. Where are we at with this message on tongues and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all that? Well, here, again, let's park it here. You cannot deny it after today in the Scriptures. So you just got to decide what you want to do with it. And I know what most of you say. Well, I'm fine. Well, I've come this far without it. I don't need it no further. Again, let me just say this. Good luck. Good luck. I promise you I would not be here today without it. I would not be where I'm at right now without it. But let me read one more verse to you. Verse 14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. That's where 90% of the church parks. That's where 90% of believers park. Oh, that's just foolishness. There's no need for that today. There's such a need for this today. You need it. If you're married, your marriage needs it. Your kids need it. This nation needs it. Church needs it. It's not for you to do a chicken walk across the floor. If you want to, that's another issue, okay? We'll talk about that later. The purpose behind it was the original purpose that you are have power to be His witnesses and to go into all the world. Amen? Are y'all okay? So real quickly, Rodney, come on. So go ahead and put up the next notes. I got five notes to cover, but they're going to be quick. How do we get it? It's got to be a special formula to get this. Have I got to go to Mecca and bow down three times and then, you know, turn around and do the chicken walk or something? I don't know. No. Go ahead and put the next note up. First thing I suggest you do is get rid of your mindsets and barriers you have already established about it. I was brought up in the teaching that it died with the last apostle. And I fully believed that until I discovered the Word of God for myself. And I couldn't deny it. But I couldn't get it either. And the more I tried to understand it, the worse it got. Because I was trying to make it fit into my mind box. It's not the holy soul. It's not the holy body. It's the Holy Spirit. My spirit will only understand it. My soulish realm still don't get all of it. My mind, will, and emotions cannot wrap my mind in my own flesh. I cannot still wrap my mind around the power of God, His love, or the Holy Ghost. But in my spirit, I know. And when your spirit begins to take more control than your own thoughts do in your soulish realm, that's when you'll say, the heck with it, Lord. And I've shared this. Here's the way I got it. I went everywhere to try to get it. Had people lay hands on me, pray for me. And that is part of it. There is an impartation. You can give what you have away. And if you've got it, you can lay hands on people and expect them to get it. But the problem wasn't with anyone that laid their hands on me. The problem was me. I had barriers. I had preconceived ideas and wrong doctrine and theology about it. And thought that if I did get it, I'd have to totally lose function and control of my whole body. I'm going to be like tranced and taken over and made to do it. Yeah. Untie my bow tie. God's not like that. He's not a dictator. And so this is the way I got. I had to get rid of my mindsets and the barriers. And after all the controversy, man, the devil was wearing me out, telling me I wasn't saved, I wasn't good enough. Oh, that's because you did this years ago. You can't have it, and you're really not. Man, just wearing me out. And finally, I got the Word out, and I went deep into the Word with it, and I said, by golly, it's right there in the Word. And I prayed a prayer like this: Father, I have searched Your Word, and it's real. There's no denying it. And Father, I'm saved. I got saved years ago, and I know I did. Devil, You're a liar. And if You want me to have this, I am open. But I want to tell You, God, I'm tired of struggling with it. I'm going to live for You and serve You as hard as I can the rest of my life, whether I get this or not. If I get it, good. If I don't, You're still God. And can I tell you, man, I felt a peace come on me, and I didn't shine the lie right then or nothing. But I got up and I had peace, and I went to work for God. Didn't really think about it that much. About 2 to 3 weeks later, I'm praying in my private time with God, and I'm praying in English, and all of a sudden, I'm praying in the Spirit. And then it scared me. Be honest, it did. It scared me pretty bad. I didn't have nowhere to go with it. I didn't have anybody in my circle that believed in it. So I'm like, I'm just going to quench this. I got it. It's good. Now I'm not going to do it again. Check that off. But man, every time I'd begin to pray, I'd feel it welling up in me. And I'll be honest with you, I quenched it for a good while. Then finally, I'm like, I can't quench this, man. Shanda Bahota. Chevrolet Coupe, mow your lawn. Dear God. And I've been riding my Honda Suzuki Kawasaki ever since. So you got, the first thing you got to do is get rid of you. You just got to get rid of those mindsets and the barriers. Second thing, real quick. Now, this will really blow your mind. Ask. Ask him for it. Tell him you believe in it. And I told him, I said, I don't understand it, but I believe it. By faith, I believe this. Ask him. The Bible's got a scripture in there that says, if you ask the Father, he's not going to give for a piece of bread, he's not going to give you a scorpion. And then it goes on and says, how much more will the Father give to those who seek it, the Holy Spirit? There's another scripture that said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. So God wants you to have it. All you got to do is ask. How many of you thought your way into salvation, or did you ask Jesus to come into your life? Come on, how many of you asked for salvation? How many had faith that God was who he said he was and that Jesus did what he did? And you had faith and you asked God to come into your life by faith. It's the same faith. There's not another level of faith you have to do. You just have to have enough faith to believe and ask. And then the third thing you got to do is what I've kind of already talked about real quickly. Go ahead and put the third thing up. You got to receive it by faith. You got to declare it. Father, I thank you. I got it. It's like that day. Lord, it's real. I got it. If the manifestation comes, I'm ready. But I've got it. I believe it. And then I received it by faith. And then the number four thing is this right here. When you begin to receive it by faith, you release your heavenly language by faith. Everybody say, by faith. Everything we do in the Christian realm is by our faith in God, in his word, in his truth. Now, I tell people this all the time. Pray in English as much as you possibly can and know. And then when you run out of that, let the Holy Ghost pray through you. The Bible says he'll give you groanings and utterances which you cannot understand. Pray in the Spirit. It'll come if you're there, if you want it. But now, here's what they said to me now. He's not going to come down, grab your mouth by the head, and make you go dun-dun-dun-dun. So you can forget that ever happening. You will have full control. You will have full control. You lose none of the ability to, you don't lose your mind, you don't lose your mouth. You release it by faith. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I got one last illustration I want to give you. Everybody see what this is? Bottle of water. Now, if this bottle of water, it's still got a little gap in there, but let's just pretend it's all the way to the top. This bottle is what we would call filled, right? But where's the water at? It's inside. This is salvation. This is when Jesus, the Holy Spirit, comes and lives inside of you. That's the real salvation. This is going to heaven. But what would happen today if I raised that screen and I took this bottle and I dipped it into water and brought it back up? This bottle would be baptized, wouldn't it? It's what we do with saved people. We baptize them, we put them down, and they come up new. Well, here you are, you're saved. Jesus is living inside of you. But now it's time to be baptized into his Spirit and power and come up in a kingdom that has a language. And can I give you one more tip real quickly, and I'm going to, so just say yeah. The devil knows how to speak English, Japanese, Pygmies, all the eases. He knows how to speak Latin and Hebrew and Greek, and he knows how to speak Chinese and all the dialects of ancient Hebrew and Greek. He knows all the languages. There's only one language he can't understand when it's spoken, and that's the kingdom language. Now let me tell you, I'm going to say it where you'll remember it. And I'm not trying to be cute or nothing, but I want you to remember it. When a Christian begins to pray in tongues in the heavenly language, it literally scares the hell out of the devil. Because he don't know what you're saying. He don't know how to come into that prayer and mess with you. He don't know how the plans that's being released over your voice. He doesn't know what you're prophesying in right there. That alone is enough for me to want it just to tick him off. But don't do it for that. Do it because it is a gift of God. And so this morning, I want you to bow your heads real quickly. And I know we're in overtime again. But if you're here this morning, the first step for you is not to worry about a tongue, but get heaven. Because you can't have heaven's language or heaven's tongue until you get heaven in you. And that comes through Jesus Christ. He's the one that died. God did not die. The Holy Spirit did not die. Jesus died for your sins because you cannot save yourself. And if you're here this morning, the way we offer salvation here, then where you surrender your life to Christ is like this. There's no strings attached. You will not join church today, and we're not offering you a religion. We're offering you to get your sins washed away by Jesus Christ himself and surrender your life to become a child of God and get eternity secure forever for your life. And there's the benefit package can come. So if you're here this morning and you say, I've never asked Christ to come into my life. I've never had my sins washed away, and I can't save myself, but I'm ready today for Jesus to come and be my Lord. If that's you, just come on, throw your hands up real quickly where you're at. Anyone? Salvation right there. Come on, right there's one. Come on, anybody else? Anyone else? Is that back here? Come on, right there. That's two. Yeah! Woo! Fire of God, fire of God, fire of God. Anyone else? Just throw your hand up. Release yourself to the saving grace of God this morning. Maybe online. We celebrate that, and we're going to pray real quickly, then we're going to do something else, so just hang on. Let's pray this together. Say, Father, here I am. I cannot save myself. And I come to the realization today that I can't save myself. But I believe by faith that you came to earth. You are the Son of God. You came. You died for my sins. But you rose again from the dead so I can live forever. Forgive me of my sins. I repent from them right now. Come into my life, my whole life. Everything about me, God, I surrender it to you. So, Lord, by faith in who you are, I thank you for saving me. You did it for me, Lord, and I thank you for it. Right now, today, I am now a child of God Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Everybody say, that's good. Now, can I tell you that the person that just got saved, you now qualify for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Can I tell you, if you've ever had a day in your life where you prayed that prayer and you know you got saved, you qualify to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? I'm going to have our prayer team go ahead and come up now. Go ahead and come up, prayer team. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we usually do some things fairly quiet and common here, but not today. This is not something you're ashamed of. Now, this altar's open for anything. If you've got surgery coming up this week, if you've got finances, if you've got loved ones, whatever, these people will pray for anything. But I want you to know that I believe there's a Kairos moment right now here for the laying on of hands and people receiving their heavenly language this morning. And if you're ashamed of that, then you probably won't get it. But if you've got the boat, well, what happens if I come down there and I don't get it? I've been there. But you know what? What happens if you do? You may come down here today and start the process. You may get it on the way home. It may manifest next week. But if you don't ever start the process by faith, I promise you it'll never happen. So I want you just to bow your heads right now one more time. There's two classes of people in here. Those that have never received it, you've been scared of it, you just didn't know about it. And again, today's just scratching the surface of it. It's a lot deeper. But you've got enough today where you can believe by faith it's for you, not against you. And then there's a person who received it years ago, but you've let it go dormant. You've let the cares of the world come in and choke out the living Spirit of God in your life. And you need a fresh rekindling of that fire and that language. So this altar is open for any and everybody. But I just want you to right now say, Lord, I either want it or I want to rekindle it. Just lift your hand. I either want it or I'd like for it to be rekindled in a fresh way. And I'm going to ask you if you raise your hand to come forward. It's one thing to raise your hand and do that, but come on. Right now. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Come on. Come on. Listen, if I told you I had $1 million when you joined Journey Church, listen to me, church. When you joined Journey Church on Sunday, on Monday morning, we put $1 million in your account. Man, you would be running up here to join. Woo! Let me up there. Give me $1 million. This is much more precious than $1 million. Amen? Now, I've done this a little different today, and they're up here praying, and I'm not going to take away from it, but I want you to tell you this. I am going to pray over your tithes and offerings real quickly, because we got to bless it. The Lord says bless them. And if you're here, especially from another church, you do not give to Journey Church. You can give online or those buckets that going out. But anyway, let's just get this out of the way real quickly, because this is the more important work. But we are commanded to pray and bless God's tithe. So I'm going to pray over it for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless the tithes that's come into this place today, God. And we thank you because of a faithfulness of resources, we're getting this gospel out in more areas, and more people are being affected than ever before. And Father, I thank you that you make us good stewards, not over just this 10% we bring you, but that you anoint us for the 90% to have favor and it go further and do more even in our own personal lives as we steward it as your money also too, God. And we're accountable for every dime. So Lord, we come into kingdom finances, kingdom understanding, and Lord, we want to be spenders and we want to be lenders by the Spirit of God, followed of the Holy Ghost with our finances, and be wisdom, not of men, but of the Spirit of God. So Lord, we just bless it in the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen to that. Now here's where we're going to do this end of service. I wouldn't leave here without it. If I need to, I'll come. I'm going to run to the Welcome Center. If you're a first-time attender, I'll see you right over here in this thing right here. And then I'm going to come back in here. Hopefully this line will be twice as long. And I'm going to join these people, laying hands on people and watching you receive, or watching you plant a seed to receive. Amen? 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 Look joyful in the house of God. Smile at him. He's a good God. Amen. So, Father, as we go out of here today, Lord, may we go out empowered, may we go out strengthened, and may we go out in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, may we develop a language. We didn't speak a full sentence as a baby. You may only get one word today, but if you get just one word, you're on your way to becoming fluent as you mature in it. So, Father, we all have a starting point, and let us start in this service today. Let us take it home, and let us take it throughout our week. And we celebrate the salvations in the house of God this morning for your glory. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Come on, say in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him praise.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.